Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 10 and 13, as Tim read earlier. I've titled this, Preparing for Spiritual Warfare. Preparing for Spiritual Warfare. I'm going to be totally honest, this is an arena that I don't think near enough about. But after studying this, it's something I'm going to think a whole lot more about. If you're a Christian who does not realize that an ongoing spiritual battle against the devil rages, then you're at risk of great harm. Since his fall, the devil has fought against God and his children. In 2025, the battle continues. We're about to learn and study four key tactics that will prepare you for spiritual warfare. If we're willing to follow God's plan for spiritual warfare, then and only then will we be successful in a battle that is already raging. The first step in preparing for spiritual warfare is to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. We see it in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Who do you think of when you hear the word strong? If I said, who is strong to you? Where does your mind go? Well, I'm an 80s kid. In 1977, they started the World Strongman Competition. I don't know if y'all have ever watched that. But it was something I liked to watch when I was a kid. Those guys are giants, and they can pull 18-wheelers with their teeth, and they can lift all these crazy things. They can take these huge stones and lift them up over their head and put up on those pedestals, and they're just giants. That's what I think of when I think of strong. But this word, strong, be strong, is a little different. What this word means is to receive strength. To be strengthened for service or action. You see, this is actually a verb that is being done to you. See, when I think of being strong, I think I need to pull my boots up. I think I need to cinch my belt a loop tighter. I think I need to do the work, do the physical work. But this right here says that you need to be strengthened. What areas of life do most people desire to be strengthened in? Finance. Everybody wants strong finances, security. They want to have a strong education. They want to have a strong mind, be educated. Physical strength. You know, that's a complaint of people when they get older. Well, I'm just not as strong as I used to be, and they want to be strengthened. Those are common areas. We as humans want to be strengthened. We want to be strong. But Paul instructs Christians to be strengthened in two specific areas. Number one, to be strengthened in the Lord. And the second part, to be strengthened in the strength of his might, of God's might, to be strong in him. We are to gain and utilize God's strength, not the strength that we can muster up on our own. I'm not relieving of responsibility, but I'm just changing our focus of where we're getting our strength. We're to grow in relying on God for our strength. How are you doing in that area? How well do you rely solely upon God and his strength in your daily life? How do you do that? Monday morning, are you thinking, God's got to give me the strength. I'm looking for your strength. Or on Monday morning, do you do like I do oftentimes? What does Philip need to do today? What am I equipped to accomplish? You see the difference? Paul's calling on us, compelling us, go to God and ask for, receive his strength to do what you need to do today. But where are we? Are we experiencing the negative outcomes? Are we falling flat on our face time and time again because we didn't start out on the right place and say, oh God, I am weak today. Oh God, in my frailty. Oh God, in my flesh, will you strengthen me? Will you give me your strength? Those are two different things. Paul is calling us to do the latter. Confess our frailty. Confess our weakness and go to God and petition Him for His strength. How could tomorrow look like for you if you started it out that way? Has God proven Himself to be strong? Do you believe it yet? I think you've got to believe that God is strong to go to Him for your strengthening. What about the creation of the universe? You need evidence. Look around you. Everywhere we turn, open your eyes and open your ears. Everything that you experienced is His creation. Is that strong? I can't create anything. Do you realize that you can't create anything that He hasn't already created? I think He's pretty strong. That's just one example. Parting of the Red Sea, never done that. I can barely part water when I walk through it. He takes all the sea and makes it completely part. Dries the ground that it just was previously covered with water and allows the Jewish people to walk through it. I think that's a strong God. Amen. Defeating Pharaoh in Egypt. But I think this illustration from the Bible really shows us God's strength. Y'all remember Gideon? I'm going to give you a summary. If you want to go back and read this afterwards, I put it in parentheses. This comes from Judges chapter 7. It's verses 1 through 25, but I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm going to give you a synopsis. Gideon stood with an army of 32,000 men. They were ready to face the Midianites, but God had a different plan. He told Gideon, "Your army is too large. If you win, Israel will boast and say that they have won the victory." And so God began to carve away the army. At first, He carves away 10,000, leaving 22,000. So now they've gone from 32,000 to 22,000. And God said, no, we got to do a little bit more carving. And so before God gets finished, guess what they're down to? 300 men. Wow, God. This was going to be tough before. Now we're at 300. With this small band of men, God promised the victory, not by human strength, but by His strength. God needed to show and teach that His strength was sufficient for the victory. That night, God reassured Gideon through a dream, and he overheard in the enemy camp, a Midianite soldier described a vision of their defeat at Gideon's hands, strengthened by God. And with divine strategy, Gideon divided, you'll remember, 300 men into three groups armed with swords and trumpets, torches hidden in jars, and faith in God. And they surrounded the army, the camp. At Gideon's signal, they smashed their jars, revealed the torches, blew their trumpets, and shouted, "For the Lord and for Gideon!" Confusion overtook the Midianites. They turned upon themselves, cannibalized, and they won the victory. God's strength won the victory. He proved Himself to Gideon. He proves Himself strong to us today. But I do not focus enough on God's strength. I'm confessing my failures to you guys. Do you? Oftentimes, I just think about how strong I am to overcome my battles. And that's not it. I should think about how strong is God to overcome this battle. When I look at my strength, what's the ramifications? What are we at risk of? When I see the battle, when I see the army before me, and I'm scared, and I don't know how I'm going to win, it paralyzes me when I focus on my strength. I don't move. I don't go forward. I'm filled with fear. That doesn't happen when we rely upon God's strength and we rely upon what He's done before. We can go forward. This is something that's been heavy on my heart. And yesterday, I feel like that the Lord really spoke to me through a pastor that shared a testimony with me. He said he had just gotten married, and he hadn't just gotten married because he had two children. And he works in the nursery realm, which is planting trees, harvesting trees, and all those types of things, digging holes. And that's what he did. That's all he knew to do. So he had his wife, and he had his two young children at home, and he ruptured two of his discs. That's not a good thing to do when you dig holes for a living and lift trees. And it was so bad that he said that he couldn't rise above this level. And so he had gone from being able to dig the holes, and they had let him continue to be employed by doing something called pinning, which I'm not sure what pinning the plan is, but he had a guy that would dig and he would pin, and that's how he worked all day long. And he said he just realized, he got to the point he was so discouraged because he realized that they were probably going to have to let him go. He can't work. And so his family and his children, what would they do without a provider? And he said, I was a Christian, and I didn't really know about God's healing. I'd never been taught about God's healing. I didn't know what to do. But in my ignorance, and at the end of my rope, I got down on my knees beside my bed. And he said, I didn't know what to say. So I just said the only thing I knew to do. He said, I cried out and I said, God, you see me. You know that I can't work. You know that I want to work. You know that I've got to care for my family. I ask that you would heal me in this moment. And he said, immediately, a warm feeling started at the top of his head and went all the way down to his feet. And he got up and he stood. And when he got to the position that he was usually at, nothing stopped and he rose all the way back up. He called his brother-in-law, or his brother-in-law called him and said, are you going to be able to go to this on a Sunday evening? His brother-in-law called him and said, are you going to be able to go to work tomorrow? He said, yeah, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to dig. His brother-in-law said, what are you talking about? You could barely pin the plants on Friday, but what do you mean you're going to dig? He said, I've been healed by God. And he went and he dug that next day, and he was completely healed from that much, that point forward. Do we rely on God's strength? Do we call out for that? Am I willing to call out for that? Am I willing to cry out to God and say, give me your strength? Is he still strong? Is his hand been shortened? Am I willing to do that? Or do I put him in a little box that I love to come and worship on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night? I'm afraid of what I'm missing out on because of how limiting that I make God. We need God's strength, and I want more of God's strength. And that's the first step in this spiritual warfare. If you want to be prepared for spiritual warfare, then you must be strong in the Lord. You must be strengthened in the Lord. The second step in preparing for spiritual warfare is put on the full armor of God. Note that this command requires action from us. Action, it requires doing. Put on. Now, each of you have showed me today, because I'm looking out and I'm thankful for what I see, each and every one of you are clothed. Each and every one of you have got up and put on clothes so you have the ability to do this. Amen. You can do it. You can put on. Paul commands Christians to put on the full armor of God. Now, I'm not going to go too deep into this because it will be our sermon for next week, but let's look at the different elements of the armor. The first one is the belt of truth. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. Number three, sandals of the gospel of peace. Number four, the shield of faith. Number five, the helmet of salvation. And number six, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Envision yourself equipped this morning, right now. Envision it. Envision this. Envision that you have on a belt. Envision that you have on a breastplate, sandals on your feet, a shield in your arm, a helmet on your head, a sword in your hand. Is that how you go about? Is that how you'll walk out of here? Is that how we'll wake up in the morning? Will we get up in the morning and will we put on these things? Or will we get up naked and just go about our day completely unprotected, completely unprepared to do anything, completely unprepared to fight any battle. That's oftentimes how I walk out of the house. Does that make any sense? Well, it does if you don't realize there's an enemy. I went to the post office last week, and there's a police officer who is a very, I think he's a very strong guy. He's a big guy. Well, I walk into the post office there behind him, and I was standing there. I thought, man, this guy wears a lot of stuff. I mean, he had on a belt. He had a pistol. He had a taser. He had clips. He had a knife. He had handcuffs. He had on a bulletproof vest. He had his walkie-talkie. He had everything. And I thought, man, I would hate to have to carry that stuff around. But I tell you what, when you need it, I guarantee he's happy that he's got that pistol on his hip. When the bullets are firing, I bet he's glad he's got a bulletproof vest on. When he needs to holler at his buddy, I bet he's glad he's got that little walkie-talkie to give a shout. He believes that he needs it, so he puts it on. Do we believe that we're going to engage in spiritual warfare and therefore put on all of these the armor of God every day? If we believe in the warfare, I guarantee we'll be more inclined and motivated to put it on. What Paul paints here is a picture of somebody who's ready to go to battle. Christians, I think oftentimes we're not ready to go to battle. Here's the situation Paul's preparing you for, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Is the devil real? Yeah, he is. Paul knows that the devil is real. Paul knows that the devil develops schemes to defeat Christians. Paul knows that every one of us must be strengthened in the Lord, plus have every piece of God's armor on if we're going to have any hope against him. If we ever want to stand firm, it will not be without God's strength. It will not be without the armor of God. And I know y'all want to stand firm. I don't like to get pushed around. I don't like to get pushed down. I want to stand there. I want to be ready. And I think you do too. If we don't have the armor, we'll be weakened as we battle the devil. And I think you probably agree, by and large, yeah, we should put on the armor of God. But do you believe in putting on every piece of the armor? Or do you just have a few of them that you like? Like, I don't really look good in the belt, you know. My senior year, I thought that my tail pad was slowing me down. Any of y'all ever played football? You know, you got the tailbone pad. I didn't like it. So I took it out. I'm going to be faster. Well, that was all good. I played several games and never had any trouble with that. Well, I went around the right side in one game, and I was going as fast as I could go because I didn't have my tailbone pad in. And an old boy grabbed me by the jersey. And usually when you're going this way and they're going this way, you create a vortex. And so he grabs my jersey and spins, and now we're playing do-si-do. And when he spun me, my feet came out from under me, and I went airborne. And the first thing that hit the grass in Robert Reed Stadium was my tailbone. And I thought that I was going to have some help to pull it out of the grass in Robert Reed Stadium. Because y'all ever landed on your tailbone? You know what I'm talking about? In that moment, I realized why they distributed to each and every one of us a tailbone pad and gave us a place in that girdle to put it. God has also given you every piece of the armor so that you wear all of it all the time, because each and every piece of the armor has a purpose. And we should seek and strive every day to put on each and every piece of the armor. Are you putting on the full armor of God each day as you put on your clothes to go to work, to go to school, to go to Jack's for breakfast, some of you lucky ones. And if you're not, you should. Paul's commanded it. If we want to be prepared for spiritual warfare, then we must put on the full armor of God. The third step in preparing for spiritual warfare is identify the enemy. Identity. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is the enemy. Paul did not call the believer to enter into spiritual warfare. Notice he didn't say, you know, you need to enlist, and then on this date, we're going to start into spiritual warfare. Notice we're in the middle of it. He knows you're in the middle of spiritual warfare right now. He just announces it as a fact, a matter of fact. We are actively engaged in spiritual warfare right now, each and every one of us. If you are ignorant, which means without knowledge, or ignore the fact, you are not winning the battle. If right now you're saying, well, I'm not in spiritual warfare, I don't even feel it, you're losing. We're not fighting the battle against simply flesh and blood, it says. It's not just against humans. It's not against muscle. It's not against just these other people. It says that we're fighting against cosmic intelligences, against demonic forces. And this is where some of you may be looking at me like, come on, it's kind of strong. Well, let me ask you this. Did Jesus believe in the devil and demonic forces? Did he think it was real? Did he think that it was a real thing in this world? Matthew 28:32. When Jesus came to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed, I think is what it says, met him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent, you need the armor of God, that no one could pass that way. And they cried out saying, what business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now there was a herd of many swine feeding at a distance for them, and the demons began to entreat him, saying, if you're going to cast us out, send us into the herd of swine. How many of us would the demons try to negotiate with? How many would they just ransack and run right over and have no problem with? The only reason is because this is the Son of God. This is prepared. This is the power. This is the strength. They knew they couldn't overcome him. And Jesus is trying to prepare us, and Paul is trying to prepare us. This is real in your world today, and you're going to need the power of God, the strength of God, and his armor if you're ever going to endure. Those who did not believe in Jesus even learned that demons were real. Believing in Jesus wasn't a requirement for demons to be active and present. Acts 19:36, but also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits of the Lord, the name of the Lord, Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. He not only whipped them, he took their clothes off. Why? They were not strengthened in the Lord. Notice what they said. The Jesus of who? Of Paul. Not my Jesus. Not my Lord and Savior. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have God's strength. They didn't have the armor of God. And so what did the evil spirit do? It whipped them. And that's what he'll do to us if we ain't got it. In Paul's mind and experience, the whole universe, everything going on was a battleground. As Christians, we will not We will never contend against the attacks of spiritual forces if we do not see it as a battle. Look at the spiritual forces, three categories. Rulers. We're fighting against rulers. Jesus called the devil a ruler of this world three times. John 12, John 14, and John 16. You can go back and look at it. That's how Jesus referred to the devil, a ruler of this world. Powers. Luke 4, 6. The devil said to Jesus, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. That's the devil talking to Jesus. Powers. And then lastly, world forces of wickedness. So know that you're actively engaged in a battle with the devil, and that the battle will be a struggle. If you do not believe in the devil, his demons, and their power, then you're losing and you're in jeopardy of totally losing the battle. If you want to be prepared for spiritual warfare, then you must identify the enemy and struggle against him. Number four, the fourth step in preparing for spiritual warfare is to resist the devil. Paul doubles down on his instruction in verse 11. Take up the full armor of God. I believe the reiteration was due to his conviction that a Christian's only hope against the devil was God's armor. He knew that our fleshly strength would just fail. Paul gives us further motivation to put on the armor of God. He says, so that, because, for, you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. There's the motivation. Now notice what Paul did not tell us to do. He did tell us to resist. But he doesn't tell us to pursue the devil. Go chase him down. He doesn't tell us to go and challenge the devil to a duel. Go and see if you can pick a fight with him. He doesn't say to just go about and fight against him, to go and get the sword and go see if you can stab him with it. He doesn't even say go and defeat the devil. Paul instructed us to resist the devil and to stand firm. I'm going to be honest with you. When I first read this, I thought, that's kind of low-hanging fruit. Just resist? That's all you want me to do is simply resist the devil? Shouldn't there be more? Am I not capable of more in God's strength? Then I got thinking a little bit more about that word resist. How well am I doing in simply resisting the devil each day? How well are you doing in resisting the devil each day? How well are you doing in resisting him in the music that you listen to? How well are you doing in resisting him in the content that you consume? On TV, on YouTube, wherever you... What about... You may be a reader. What kind of books are you reading? Are you resisting the devil in the books that you read, the games that you play? Are you... And those are kind of the... we think, those are bad things. Are you resisting the devil when he has 12 horns on his head? Are you resisting the devil when he weighs 8 pounds and 4 ounces? Are you resisting the devil when he's got a 12-inch beard and inch-and-a-half long spurs? Are you resisting the devil at the ballpark in another game to play? The devil doesn't have to come at us with the most sinful, heinous things. The devil can take something that is completely neutral, natural, and good, and he can lead you way, way, way far away with it. I'm realizing that it would be hard for God to give me a bigger command when I can't follow the little command. If I can't resist the devil, how's he going to call me to something higher? He just says, just resist him. If you can just resist him, you would be so obedient. Just do that, and you'll be moving on down the road. Just resist him, Philip. That's all. I got to work on that first. But with the strength that God gives me, I can resist the devil. Is it powerful to resist the devil? James thought it was. Here's your application. James 4 gives it. James 4, 7. Submit therefore to God, period. Resist the devil, and the result of those two things, submit to God, resist the devil. Here's your result. The devil will flee from you. That's what James tells us. But we got to submit to God and His commands. We got to submit to Him as King first. In His strength, resist the devil, and then He'll flee from us. If you want to be prepared for spiritual warfare, then you must resist the devil. I want you to listen. I love those old movies. The war drums. They getting ready. You hear it? It's like a Friday night football game. That's what I love about Friday night. You'd hear that drum, baby. Boom, boom, boom. What'd that mean? It's almost time. We're in the middle of it. The war drums are all around you because you and I are in the middle of a battle. Do you hear them? Do you believe them? Your spiritual battle is not a matter of if, it's now and it's when. Your spiritual battle is right now and every moment until you die. That's when you get to get out of the battle, when you leave this place. Are you ready? That's a believer. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. There's two groups, believers and non-believers. If you're a believer and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that question is for you. Are you ready for battle? There's the other side. There's the non-believer. There's the person who has no relationship, spends no time with God, does not believe in God. You are on the wrong side of the battle. If you're not a believer today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're on the wrong team. And I want to recruit you to the right team. I want to recruit you to the team that has these instructions to fight against the devil and not live for him. Because whatever lie the devil has told you, and he's a good liar, ain't nobody can tell a lie like the devil can. No matter what lie he's told you, it's a lie. The only good things come from God, and the only way that you can get through God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that if we believe and confess in Jesus Christ as Lord, that we shall be saved. But there's another part of that, because I've got this conviction about this word believing. You know, I believe that I need to lose 15 pounds, yet I had a cheeseburger and two plates of fries yesterday. But I believe that I needed to lose 15 pounds. But my activities did not really align up with my beliefs. So I want to say it's a relationship. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ so that you can engage in the spiritual warfare with His strength? Do you talk to Him? You want to spend time with Him? Have you asked Him for forgiveness? Are you seeking to do His will? Do you want to be in His presence? Do you want to tell other people about Him? Those are kind of evidences of a relationship. And if those evidences are not part of your life, I'm thankful for this. I don't know who truly has salvation and who doesn't. And I'm thankful I don't know that. But today I ask, if you don't ever talk to Him, you don't seek to be around Him, you don't seek to worship Him, you don't seek to want to know what He wants to do, I think it's time to really do business with God and ask, do I have a relationship? Do I believe at the level that He's called me to? But I want you on God's team. And that's possible today. Amen.